Welcome to another inspiring podcast from True North Church. We hope this message encourages and blesses you. For more information about our church, please visit truenorthak.org.
Hi, True North Church. So good to have you with us today. My name's Mark. I'm one of the pastors here at True North Church, and I want to dive in. We're in a series called Miracles, and I want to dive right in because I've got some what I think is incredible encouragement for you today. And today we're going to look at the miracle of Jesus turning water into wine. But what's interesting is you can't turn water into wine. We'll talk about that, but let's go to John chapter 1 here. On the third day, a wedding took place in Cana. Now, there's nothing significant there other than the second day and the first day. It was after he called some of his disciples. So some of his disciples had been with him for a couple days, and a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. So we know that Jesus was invited. His mom was invited. They believe that Jesus' mom at this time is a widow. So Jesus is the oldest son taking care of her. And they were friends with this family here in Cana. And Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. So there's friendships here. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Now, stop. If my wife told me something, I said, "Woman, don't involve me," I'd be in trouble. But the word "woman" here is actually a term of endearment. He's not saying "mom." He's saying it's like a Southern charm type of deal. In that culture, he's honoring her and say, "You know, woman, thanks for talking to me, but this is the..." So it wasn't a diss, but in our culture, just don't try calling your wife woman. That doesn't work. It goes on, "Why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you to do." Nearby stood 6 stone jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washings, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. There's 6 stone jars. Now, these aren't earthenware jars. These aren't made in a pottery shop or a barn. These were stone jars hewn out of solid stone that the Jews would use to wash themselves before banquets, or in this sense, before they ate something at a wedding feast. The Jews were all about what? Taking care of the outside of themselves, not the inside. And Jesus took these stone jars used for ceremonial washings, and he said to his servants, "Fill the jars with water." He filled them with H2O. So they filled them to the brim. Then he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine, after the guests have had too much to drink. But you've saved the best till now." Now here's the profound thought. The disciples didn't know that he had changed into water into wine. They drew water to give to the guests because they were told to, and God had transformed the inside of that jar into something that was completely different than what was inside it before, water. And they were so changed. It says, what Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed him. Now, in John, the first 12 chapters of John, there's 7 signs, 7 miracles that point to the glory of Jesus. And today we're gonna look at one of those. It's when Jesus turned water into wine. And it so impacted his disciples that they believed in him. And that's the purpose of signs, the purpose of miracles. Point to the glory. In John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became what? Flesh, and dwelt among us." Why? So we could behold the Bible says in verse 14, behold his glory. The reason God does miracles is because he wants to reveal his glory so people believe in him. Now today I want to take a look at this miracle of water into wine. In fact, what's funny is the miracle of H2O was changed into C6H12O6 minus 2CO2 plus 2 carbon, 2 hydrogen, 5 oxygen and hydrogen. Jesus took water and transformed it into something completely different and extracted some different. In fact, Dr. James C. Williams, he's a medical professional, a professor of cell biology and physiology at Indiana University School of Medicine. He wrote an article, and I'm not super smart, so if I want to understand what a text is about, I'll do some research. And I ran across this article, and I want to read some highlights to you from it. It says, thus, in thinking about this miracle, in changing from water into wine, the liquid had to go from chemically simple H2O to chemically complex. And then it goes on, in order for the flavor, color, and even the texture of the liquid to be sensed by the stewards as good wine, there must have been present a substantial concentration of complex molecules in the new wine. He goes on, says this, water, even rather dirty water, does not have the correct atoms to make wine. Then he goes on and says, in order for the water drawn by the servants to become a liquid recognized by the stewards as good wine, new atoms would have to have been formed within the jars. That is, the miracle of water to wine must involve the creation of new carbon atoms, new nitrogen atoms, and a number of other elements, such as a rather large amount of potassium. Listen to this. To drop away from the chemistry for a moment, let me say it this way. In changing the water into wine, now listen to this. Jesus did a miracle that was more than rearrangement of the stuff of the water into something else. It was the making of new stuff. And I want to pause here. Do you understand that Jesus has the ability to make new stuff out of old stuff? That's why the miracle of transformation is this. When we come to Jesus, we bring to him who we are, and we are, behold, the old is gone. The Bible says the new has come. There's transformation. The author goes on and says this. Atoms always stay the same in the lab. They can be rearranged into different molecules, but never changed into something else. Oxygen never becomes carbon. Hydrogen never becomes nitrogen. Such things cannot happen. And this last statement, do you see the implications of this minor miracle? Jesus caused the water to be changed into wine, apparently mostly at the urging of his mother, to keep the bridegroom from being embarrassed about the poor provisions for the celebration. But the miracle was in one sense not very different from the initial creation itself. Creatio ex nihilo is the Latin phrase to describe God's creation of the universe. Creation out of nothing. Something from nothing. Matter and energy where previously there was nothing at all. Here's the profound thought, is Jesus made something out of nothing. Now, for you listening today, you might go, Mark, that's great. I don't drink alcohol. Or you're like, Mark, are you talking about wine today? No, this has nothing to do with wine. This has to do with someone named Jesus who can take nothing and make it into something. In fact, there's three big thoughts I want to look at real quick. Number one, when Jesus turned water into wine, he proved there is nothing he can't transform. The Jews were still washing themselves on the outside. And mom goes, hey, they've ran out of wine. Now, in a wedding ceremony of this, they would be week-long celebrations. And 3 days into it, they have ran out of wine. They ran out of their source of joy. They're living with embarrassment. There's a cloud over their head. They feel like they're marked by their past. How many of you feel like maybe you ran out of wine? In other words, what used to give you joy isn't there anymore. You're embarrassed. You live with a cloud. You're branded by a mistake, or there's nothing to celebrate. It's hard to get your chin off your chest. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, comes to Jesus and says, they've ran out of wine. Now, who's Mary? Mary is that young lady who lived with the thought. Now, we know that she was a teenager, so she's in her mid-40s now, because Jesus is 30 starting his ministry. But we know that she was a teenage girl who got pregnant. And when asked about it, she said, an angel told me I was going to have a child. And so here's a single mom in a culture where having sick babies wasn't very popular. And I don't know for her, this Jesus, would you do this miracle? My time hasn't come yet. Would you prove to the world that I really was the mother of someone who can do miracles? What about you? Have you ran out of wine? Have you come to a place in your life where there's no joy? Well, the good news is God, when there's nothing, God can transform nothing into something. And the second big thought here is it's not about the quantity of wine. It's not about the six jars. It's about the quality. The master of the banquet said to the bridegroom, most people use the really good wine up front and the really bad wine at the end, but you saved your best wine for now. Not just the best wine, 180 gallons of best wine. Those jars are 20 to 30 gallons each. But it's not about the quantity, it's about the quality. It doesn't matter how much you've sinned. It doesn't matter how much you need God to do. I'll tell you right now, God has the ability to transform you into something you've never been before, your friends have never seen before, your spouse has never grasped that you could become before. God has that power. He can transform the inferior into the superior. He can take water and transform it into something it never was before. The third big idea is this. What he can do with nothing. In other words, what can God do with nothing? I like to break words down. Take nothing, it's no thing. Maybe there's no thing, there's no money, maybe there's no hope, there's no future, there's no retirement, there's no path forward. Maybe in your marriage you feel like there's no intimacy, there's no communication, there's no forgiveness left. You feel like you're at the end of your road. With your job, you feel like there's no future, there's a dead end. There's no new job, there's no new hope, there's no new money, there's no old money. There's new bills, but there's no money. Or maybe emotionally feel like you have no thing, nothing to give. There's no way it's gonna get better. It's hard to get your chin off your chest. The sun's out, but it's not out in your heart right now. Or maybe tomorrow doesn't offer much hope, but you feel tapped out with where you're at. Nothing means not, zilch, zero, empty, void, non-existent, diddly squat, nil. Have you ever asked Siri what zero divided by zero is? That's nil. That's nothing. Like, let's ask that real quick. Hey, Siri, what is zero divided by zero?
Imagine that you have zero cookies and you split them evenly zero among zero friends. How many cookies friends does each person get? See, it doesn't make sense. And Cookie Monster is sad that there are no cookies. And you are sad that you have no friends.
Isn't that funny? Zero cookies divided by zero friends, and the Cookie Monster's sad because he has zero cookies, and you're sad because you have zero friends. It's nothing. Maybe you're at that place, but what can God do with nothing? He proved with nothing he can do something. In fact, I thought I would go back to Genesis 1. What can God do with nothing? Because maybe you're at that place today. See, some think the story water, wine is about the wine. It's not about the wine. It's about the fact that what God can do with nothing. Number one, with nothing, he turns darkness into light. In Genesis chapter 1, it says, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And then God said, let there be Like, now verse 1 says, now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was on the surface of the face of the deep. God can take your darkest moments and speak light, life to them, and speak life into them. When you run out of light, run to God, because God can create light. In him, there is no dark. God takes darkness and makes light. If you're in a dark moment today, you're struggling with depression, you can't get your chin off your chest, I got good news. My God can turn your darkness into light today. The second thing God can do with nothing is he turns chaos into order. Think about this for a second. In Genesis chapter 1, and God said, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate waters from water. So God made the expanse and separated the water from under the expanse from the water above it, and it was so. And God called the expanse sky, and there was evening and there was morning the second day. God took chaos and he breathed into it, and he formed the atmosphere and formed the sky and formed the land and he formed the seas. And last week we looked at a story, if you want to go back to our podcast, about when Jesus speaks and cast demons out of a man that was demon-possessed, full of chaos, cut himself, tore the chains off his hands and his feet and his wrists. And when Jesus spoke into his life, spoke chaos, took chaos and spoke order, it says the man was sitting down, fully clothed, fully dressed in his right mind. My God can take your chaos and turn it into order. Third thing God can do with nothing is he turns barrenness to fruitfulness. I love what it says in Genesis here. Genesis 1, 11 through 13. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit and seed in it according to their various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation. There was barrenness before. Now there's vegetation. Plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning the third day. Maybe you're here listening today, and you're tired of barrenness. You're tired of dead end living. Tired of hands with holes in them. Everything you touch just kind of slips through. Barren means dry, deserted, desert places, wasted, uncultivated, empty, sterile, and unbearing. But my God can take the unbearing and he can bring fruit. Some of you are tired of a fruitless life. Hamster on a wheel. Extra work, no progress. But my God can change that around. In fact, I was thinking a few Easters ago, would have been 5 years ago now, I believe. I remember on a Sunday morning, it was Easter Sunday, and I felt in my spirit that God spoke to me and says, Mark, I'm gonna open someone's womb up today. And I kind of gave that prophetic word over the congregation that day. I said, I think God's gonna open your womb, someone's womb today. And there was a woman sitting there that came as a guest on Easter. And guess what? She'd been trying to get pregnant, hadn't gotten pregnant. And a few months later, I got a Facebook inbox saying, Pastor Mark, I want you to know that I got my Easter miracle. Last year at this time, I couldn't get pregnant. My baby came. The doctors said there's a problem. They're rushing us to Anchorage, but I know my baby will live because God gave a prophetic word, and I wasn't able to have a child, and now I have my promised child. And now that child's in kids' church at our church. Maybe you're listening today and you've been barren and infertile. I believe God's gonna open your womb today. I believe that, my heart. I don't know what your barrenness is, but I believe God can take barrenness and speak fruit into it. He did that in those days. There's plants, there's nothing on the land. And he spoke seeds and put seeds inside those plants that begin to reproduce themselves. The next thing God can do with nothing is God can turn lack into abundance. It says, and God said, let the water teem, with living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing with which the water teems according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. That word team means to proliferate, to abound, to be full, to increase. My God has the ability to speak into lack and create abundance. My God shall supply all your needs, the Bible says, according to your riches and glory, pressed down, shaken together, running over. God can speak to your lack. Folks at this wedding, we've ran out of wine. God goes, you know something? There's no more wine, but there's water, and I can turn water into something that's never been turned in before. If you're here today and you're watching and you need God to turn your lack into, you just have to come to him. Cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. He's got a track record of taking nothing into something. If you're a place right now where you lack, you're in a great place because my God shall supply all your needs. Fifthly, he turns weakness into strength. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. He's talking about Adam and Eve. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves across the ground. God said rule over. God took weakness, two people, and gave them strength to rule and subdue the earth. And if God can turn nothing into something, what can he do for you? I believe God can transform your nothing into something too. If you're watching today and you feel like you need something from nothing in your marriage, you need something from nothing in your family, something from your finances, from your emotions, for your dreams, I've got really good news. My God is in the business of turning nothing into something. That's the story of the water into wine. Maybe your wine's run out. You know, if you look at this story, when Mary said their wine has run out, what she was saying prophetically was that the Israelites and the Jewish folks, guess what? The old ceremonial ways didn't work anymore. What they had was still empty religion. You can wash the outside, but the inside's not transformed. So she was prophetically saying to the Jews, the wine's ran out. She's also was saying to their that the reality was for that wedding feast, the wine had run out. So maybe your way of life on a big picture, it's a dead end. You're tired of waking up with your chin on your chest wondering, is there something more to life? And I have everything to say. There is something more to life. His name is Jesus. And Jesus can take your old way that hasn't worked and flip the script and make it better. When he turned water into wine, he was saying, I could take nothing and make it into something. Now, how can Jesus take nothing into something? How can we participate with this story today? I want to close with three ways, three applications for how we can be transformed like water into wine. How does God take something into nothing like from us? Number one, do what Jesus tells you to do. Friends, obedience is your gateway to a miracle. Obedience is your gateway to a miracle. Think about it. In John chapter 2, it says this, his mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. In other words, obey him. You know, we could learn something here from the Catholics, and that's this. We should understand, maybe we should listen to what Mary says here. Let's do whatever he tells us to do. What does Jesus tell you to do? It's called obedience. It's the next right thing. Think you might say, well, Mark, we're talking about miracles. Yeah, do the right thing. Well, what about the 10 lepers? Jesus came in contact with 10 lepers, and maybe we'll unpack the story later on in this series. But Jesus comes across 10 lepers, and he says to the lepers, go show yourself to the priests. What he was saying was this. You're healed, but go show yourself to the priests. And the Bible says, as they went, they were healed. They weren't healed right when he said it. They were healed because as they went. In other words, they did what he told them to do. And the moment they turned away from Jesus to go show themselves to the priests, they were healed. Obedience. I'm convinced we want miracles, but we don't want sometimes to do what God's asked us to do. And when you do whatever he tells you to do, I'm telling you right now, you posture yourself in a place of obedience to see God do miracles. You want to see God do miracles in your finances? Tithe. You want to see God do miracles in your marriage? Ask for forgiveness. Say you're sorry. Say, I love you. You want to see God do miracles, you do your part. In fact, I've often said this. No prayer is sincere unless you, when you come to an altar and you pray, no prayer is sincere unless you walk away from the altar and do everything in your power to see the answer happen. In other words, you pray as if everything depends upon God, but you work and obey God as if everything depends upon you. It's a partnership. So number one, do what ever Jesus tells you to do. Secondly, if you want to see transformation, fill the jars to the brim. Fill the jars to the brim. I love what this passage says. It says, nearby stood six jars, and each holding 20 to 30 gallons. And it says, Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. Fill them. So they filled them to the brim. I call this to the brim living. In Matthew chapter 5, it says, if someone comes and asks you for your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to walk 1 mile, walk with them too. Why? Because there's no traffic jams on the second mile. Legally, if the Roman government asked a Jew to carry their bags for 1 mile, they were required to carry for 1 mile. But Jesus says, listen, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, unless you do more, you carry it 2 miles. I call this to the brim living. There's no traffic jams on the second mile. Working with our staff and team and even with volunteers in the past, I always said, guys, there's circle people and dot people. Dot people do their job description. Circle people go, everything around me is a part of my circumference, a part of what I should be thinking about, not just what's written down here. Your circles are dots. In other words, are you a brim person? Or, you know, the jars can be full. Are they full when they're 3 inches from the top, 5 inches from the top? They filled them to the brim all the way. And I'm convinced if they filled them 3 inches from the top, they would have seen a miracle 3 inches from the top. 5 inches from the top, they'd have seen a miracle 5 inches from the top. What type of miracle do you want to walk in? Do you want to walk into the brim, or do you go, this is good enough? I'll bring this much. You'll get as much transformation as you bring. If you want God to take all of you, give him all of you. Give him all your heart to the brim. And lastly, the third principle is walk by faith and not by sight. I love this story. It says, and then he told them, now draw some out. Draw some what? Water. They thought it was water. They thought they were giving the servant or the master of the banquet water. But they didn't walk by what? Sight. They walked by faith. In other words, there comes a time when you do it even if you don't see it. You do it even though you don't feel it. You step out on his word. You step out and do what he says, even if you don't feel it, you don't see it. Friends, we are people who walk not by sight, but by faith. I wonder how many of you listening today would say, I'd love to see a miracle in my life, but I've tried God, or I've tried church, and I've tried this, and I've tried. Friends, you don't try God. You don't try church. You come to Jesus, and you give him everything. I said it a couple weeks ago. You try asparagus. You try broccoli. You try cauliflower. You don't try Jesus. You give him everything. You fill it to the brim. You go all the way. If you're listening today, you've never made a commitment to Jesus. It's as simple as A, B, C. A, admit you sinned. B, believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And C, confess him as Lord. If you've never come to him and said, Lord, transform me. Maybe you're listening. I don't know how you found the live stream or how you found us on CBS or how you even found it. But all I know is this. My God can take your nothing right now. You've ran out of wine. You're kind of, everything you thought you had for your life's journey's done. But I've got good news for you. You come to him today. God can transform your life, your marriage, your dreams, your job, your future. My God can take your nothing, your barrenness, and make it fruitfulness. God can take your lack and make it abundant. It starts when you say, just as I am, I come. I've sinned. I admit it. I take ownership. I believe you died for me. And I want to confess you as Lord today. If you've never done that before, wherever you're at, in your room, in your house, in your car, at work, would you bow your heads with me right now? I want to pray with you. Just repeat this prayer silently as I pray it out loud. Dear Jesus, today I admit I've sinned. I've ran out of my wine. I've ran out of what fed me. I'm empty, but I need you to fill me. Today I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me. Today I confess you as the Lord of my life. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for saving me. Now help me live for you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you were encouraged by this message. For more information and other resources, please visit truenorthak.org.